to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show.
Hi everyone, this is Joanna Penn for the Creative Pen Podcast, and today I'm interviewing Roger C. Parker. Roger is the author of 35 books which have sold over 1.6 million copies in 37 countries. He also runs the brilliant resource website for authors, publishedandprofitable.com. Hello, Roger.
Hi, Joanna. How are you?
I'm great. Well, thanks for coming on today.
I'm glad to be here.
Great. So I guess that a really good first question. I see you're referred to as the $32 million author. Did you really earn $32 million from your books?
Oh, I had wished I had. Oh, no. Basically, I came up with the $32 million figure by figuring that 1.6 million copies of books at an average price of $20 million equals, you know, $32 million. But of course, especially in today's environment, authors don't get to take home $1 out of every dollar earned. And so what I've taken home was basically what I earned based on the sales of the book. Mm. Even though I sold a lot of books, the income from royalties and advances is nothing compared to the back end that I had to develop. And unfortunately, the reason, there was no one that told me this when I did this. You know, there was no place that said, hey, this is all different than you really think it is. And so one of the reasons I started Publishing Profitable was just basically to help avoid the mistakes that I made and to take a different look at publishing, because it's not about writing as much as it's about the whole process of publishing.
Mm. No, that's brilliant. So for anyone who doesn't know you, can you give an overview of your books and your businesses? Because I know you've got so many things going on. So I guess just give us a quick overview of that.
Okay, well, the one-sentence statement is I'm an author, business builder, and book coach, and I've been those for about 25 years. My goal is to help business owners build their brands and learn how to write for success. My first real best-selling book was a book called Looking Good in Print, A Guide to Basic Design for Desktop Publishing. And I have always loved reading. I mean, I used to live in the Bridgeport, Connecticut library stacks. I was old enough to take the bus by myself, basically. And I've always loved graphic design. And I was living in Seattle at the time and trying to get published. Mm. And the problem with getting published, of course, is you have to have been published to get published.
Yeah.
And so I was always looking around for a way of getting that first book, because I knew that all the other books would be easy, but getting published the first time. So I'm living in Seattle, and I see that there's a little upstart company called Aldous PageMaker, and PageMaker was the first desktop publishing software that came out. And I figured that, gee, this is interesting, because I used to run an advertising agency, and I was always spending all my money on typesetting from a typesetter, and I saw that you're now going to be able to set type on your own computer. Well, I approached Aldous, and I said, hey there, I've got a deal for you. I'll write a little book for you entitled The Aldous Guide to Basic Design, and I'll charge you a minimum amount of money, and you can have all the rights. You just have to publish it and give it to every PageMaker user. Because I knew that once I had a book, period, and once the book was given away to lots and lots of people, I'd be able to sell another book, and it really worked. Mm. We did the minimum book that looks impressive, which is basically a 5x8 book, perfect bound, which means a squared off spine, and the title on the side. And I, within a week after that book being first published, a real publisher called me up and says, hey, you want to do a book for me? And of course I replied, what? you really pay me too?
Wow.
Probably the wrong approach. And that was for the whole ballgame. And ever since then, I've been writing books that help non-technical people or non-designers communicate more effectively in print or with their computers. One of my, the book that really sold the most in numbers was the first 5 years of Microsoft Office for Windows for Dummies.
Mm.
And, you know, this was another book. The lesson that I take away from that book is you've got to be fast. And I was sitting in my office in Dover, New Hampshire, and I see this little like a two-column article in PC Week that says Microsoft is going to bundle PowerPoint, Word, and Excel into one Office suite.
Mm.
And I instantly knew that it was all over for Harvard Graphics, for WordPerfect, for all these other things, because, you know, you can't fight free, or you can't fight impossibly low charges. So that night, I wrote a proposal. I stayed up all night and wrote a proposal for the first Office for Windows book.
Mm.
And that ended up selling a lot of copies around the world. So the lesson is you have to be fast. You have to be alert. In neither case was I hired because I was a good writer or enthusiastic writer or anything else. I was hired because I kept aware of what's happening in the greater environment, and I looked for ways that I could latch onto current trends and help people all along. And that's basically what it is. Now I'm primarily a book coach offering people assistance planning, writing, promoting, and profiting for published books.
So did you consciously choose that niche of writing books on software, you know, for dummies and that? So sort of, I guess, taking high tech and making it accessible to people. Did you actively choose that, or did that just happen?
I think it was a combination of everything. All of my instincts, all of my life, have always been about writing, reading, and design, or looking at things and trying to figure out why does this look nice or why is this unreadable. So I think that the niche of all of my books has been creating good white papers, creating good newsletters, creating effective presentations. I've written several books about presentations. So I got away from the software because I didn't want to be updating books about version-specific software the rest of my life. Now I'm going more into the generalized approaches to how do I use this, or how do I harvest my time? I have 24 hours a day. What can I do in those 24 hours that will make me an expert in my field, to my market? How can I gain the visibility that I deserve if I'm going to, you know, help people the way I'm capable of helping them?
Mm, no, absolutely. So, I mean, you've written a lot of books and you've been in the publishing industry a long time. So how are things changing at the moment in the publishing industry?
You know, it's really interesting. Because, you know, Charles Dickens said it best, you know, it was the best of times, the worst of times.
Mm.
It has never been easier for people to get published in the terms of developing their writing and locating a market that follows them and likes them. However, the other side of it is it's, you know, publishers in general are bleeding money. The retailers who sell books are not making that much money or are losing money. So there's very little money in the system the way there used to be. And the internet has, again, changed everything. When the Looking Good in Print came out, or the WordPerfect books, I was able to get from magazine articles, you know, 1,500 words, get, you know, a four-figure payment.
Yeah.
Now
you can't get anything.
Now you don't get anything because think of the exposure we're going to offer.
Mm.
So it's a funny world, Joanna. The publishing has been centralized in a few large publishers, and a few large retailers. But and every one of them is belt tightening.
Okay, Roger, so you were talking about publishing at the moment being like the best of times, the worst of times, and we were saying that, you know, a lot of the companies are losing money. So why does that make it the best of times for authors?
Well, because technology is taking up the slack. The technology, like the internet, like all of these software programs that do miraculous things that are free. I mean, this is so weird. Things like WordPress, which is a blogging software program. I mean, I don't know where they get their money from, but it's free. So the playing field is getting leveler and leveler. It is possible for people with esoteric interest through free resources online to establish a platform for themselves, to build their visibility, for people using search engines to locate them. So really, it's never been easier to develop your following if you're willing to write on a daily basis, which is the only way to learn how to write. You know, the problem of writing is you have to write.
Yeah, absolutely.
Many people make the mistake, including myself, of, you know, stress and getting behind and then having deadlines. And, you know, the thing that I encourage people so much, and I have learned myself, is it's you have to write on a daily basis. And this is encouraged by things like blogs. To have a blog that you write 5 days a week, you only need two paragraphs. And by writing those two paragraphs every day, and then you're creating content, you're creating equity in yourself that you can recycle into and expand into chapters of a book, newsletters, podcasts, or anything else. So, you know, technology is cheap or free now.
Can you just explain a bit more about that word platform? Because I think some authors might not really know what it is. And it's used a lot, certainly in America, but not so much in other places. Can you explain what an author's platform is?
Okay, the analogy I think of is a megaphone. If you possess a megaphone and you speak into it, it amplifies your voice so more people can hear you. Every author needs a platform. A platform is simply a way of distributing their message for free that others will be able to access. So for free means that you can't afford to spend a lot of money printing newsletters. No one can. And you can't afford, you know, consistent visibility by mailing newsletters. But you can afford to set up a blog and update it. I think the answer you're looking for is this. The first thing a literary agent or a acquisitions editor is going to do when they receive your query letter or your book proposal, probably before they finish reading it, they're going to go to Google or Yahoo and they're going to search your name. If nothing shows up, no matter how good your proposal was, it's not even going to be finished reading. You know, because authors have to market their own books. Publishers do not market books. Publishers are factories. Publishers are very good at, you know, fixing bad grammar, putting covers on books, designing good page layouts, delegating. They are able to distribute books to everyone who wants to buy a book, and they're able to print them. But they are not set up to market your book. So the implication and the reality is that no matter how your book is published, you, the author, have to market it yourself. And you market it not by full-page ads in the New Yorker or the New York Times, but you market your book by having a lot of search engine responses to your name or your topic that position you as an expert who has written a lot in this topic. So a platform, in my case, is my Published and Profitable website. The platform, in my case, is also a series of e-zine articles Com, and there are several places where you can submit articles, and my published and profitable blog. So when someone comes to, does a Google search on Roger C. Parker, the screen is filled up with content that they click on one or two random things. Oh, well, this is interesting, or this is interesting. Or, so that's the whole thing. That's how things have changed. A case in point, a book you may be aware of, it's called Presentation Zen by Gar Reynolds. Now, the story of this book, and I interviewed him, and I interviewed his editor to get both sides of the story. Now, Gar was a not a published author. Gar was taught marketing and presentations in Tokyo, and he started a blog. I think it was January 2006, and the first blog post is there. It says, "Hi there, I love presentations, and I'm going to share my view of presentation design and with everyone." Within a year, I think it was actually 8 months, he got approached by three publishers, and they asked him to write a book about presentations. Now, wow, this is spectacular, because he didn't approach them. They approached him because he had a platform. He had, in the elements of his platform were daily blog posts, a spectacular concept, because when you say presentation Zen, it doesn't have to be explained. You instantly know what it's going to be about. It's a beautiful site, so when you looked at the blog, you'd say, oh, gee, he must really care about what he does. So he created a blog based on his passion and based on his expertise, and that attracted a publisher. And that, I think, is the direction that all of us have to go. We have to identify our passion, our niche, our message. We have to create a platform that allows us to explore our passion and our niche. And then that will be search engine optimized, and the publishers who are interested in a new book about presentations will come to you. If he had sent a proposal out, the average publisher would, another presentation book. Especially if he had a title that didn't have any real excitement to it. By having a title that's, a total perfect title, they came to him.
I think that's a really good recommendation as well, because for many authors, they might spend years sending proposals and getting rejected by agents and publishers, whereas if they spent the same amount of time building a blog and building their audience, they're much more likely to get a publisher. Would that be correct?
Oh, very definitely. It is the only way to go.
It's a proactive approach, basically.
It is proactive, and you're building equity with every blog post, and you're also making yourself a better writer by writing the blog post.
No, absolutely. That's brilliant. So that is important if you are a published author, but it's, I guess, even more important if you're self-published. What do you think about self-publishing these days?
Well, it's good. I mean, self-publishing is a very valid way of building a market. It's a way that allows you to make far more money from the books that are sold. However, and it's very entrepreneurial. It's one of those things that is really fun. But I think that you have to, when choosing between a traditional publisher and self-publishing, you really have to come down and ask yourself, how do I want to spend my time? And how much am I willing to gamble? When you self-publish, you have to distribute the books. You get orders individually, and you have to put them in envelopes, cash the checks, take them to the post office, and deal with hassles. You have to ship books, and books are shipped in 20 or 25 quantities, and they're heavy. You have to ship cartons of books to a publisher, to retailers. After you've sold them on it, and then you have to handle the returns when they don't get sold. So it's a very cash-intensive business, and it requires a lot of the things that I don't like. Going to, you know, dealing with hassles, why didn't this book arrive, and all that. So I'm not saying it's good or bad. I think it is one of the things that has to be considered. And, you know, my inclination is, here's my prototype. I have a story that I discovered by accident, and I think it's the best example of where the world is right now. There's a gentleman named Larry Fine, F-I-N-E. Mm-hmm. Larry wrote a book called The Complete Guide to Buying a New or Used Piano. Now, that was a 1995 book at Barnes & Noble. It was an 8.5 by 11 book, and it had 360 pages. Marvelous book. But there's a catch. Out of that 1995 that I paid at Barnes & Noble, mm-hmm. he probably got 68 cents a year later. Now, that's not exactly the way to build a fortune.
No.
So, but see, that book brought him to my attention. Then I'm reading the book, and what do I find? Asterisk. Call me for a 1 hour, you know, a half hour discussion of your personal things, $75. And this was, you know, a couple of years ago. Mm. And then I see, subscribe to my yearly updates. Now, all of a sudden, it's a totally different ballgame, because he, by having self-published a yearly update and having, from the start, identified coaching calls and things like that as an income thing, he now has, you know, a real successful thing. The book, remember, the book was 1995 and 360 pages. So it's not easy to create, you know, 360 pages. Mm. And 1995 is not much money. However, his yearly updates are $14.95, which is, you know, still a big percentage of 1995. Mm. And they're 40 to 45 pages. And he sells them as PDFs.
Right, so he has a back end off of his
book. He has a back end. That, mm-hmm. I mean, my goodness. So the lesson is, the way to be successful is to have a book that establishes your presence, that you sell workbooks or videos or templates or anything else on the back end. Because the publisher is just doing you a service. They're handing out your business cards to people who are interested in your topic. And it's up to you to make the sale, the real big sale.
Mm. So really we're talking about authors being entrepreneurs. They don't just write their book now. You basically have to have more than that. You have to have a business, basically. Would that be right?
Very definitely, and this has come out. This comes out over and over again in the interviews. Michael Port. Now, Michael has one of the best books I've ever read. It's called "Book Yourself Solid," and we could talk for hours about the perfection of a title entitled "Book Yourself Solid." I mean, it's the way people talk. Mm. It gets high search engine. It's all perfect. But what it turns out is that he had a business plan, all created based around the book before he wrote the book. And that's the mentality that I think is really important these days, that you have to know what you want out of the book, because there's no reward for excellence by itself. Mm. You know, there's no reward for writing a really wonderful book that, you know, appeals to the wrong people or doesn't get noticed. The quality will be added during the editing process, and the quality will get added as you write more every day. That will make you a better writer. But there's no, you know, there's no subsidy in the sky these days for quality. You authors have to say, does anyone really need my book? And they have to ask themselves, are there any other books that my book has to be different from? Why do people, who do I want to buy my book? Which is another way of saying, who do I want to have as a consulting client, or who do I want to sell something else to? you have to identify a market that you really want, and then you have to know what keeps them up at night. What are their concerns? What do they need that you can have? What is the, I think, Joanna, think in terms of change. Now, I'm talking about nonfiction books primarily, but people don't buy a nonfiction book for pleasure. I will read an Ed McBain or a Robert Parker, no relation, mystery, because I like being transported to New York City or Boston, and I like the predictability of characters I've been reading for 20 years. That's pleasure. But when I buy a book that's how to keep your basement dry, I have a problem. And I think we all have to identify what is the problem that my market has. What do they want to do that they're not capable of doing now? What are their unachieved goals? And what can, how can I help them achieve a change? And if you look through titles, the best books tell the change. Book Yourself Solid, and very similar to that, is a book that has now hit 65,000 copies in print after 10 years, and it's called Get Clients Now by C.J. Hayden. Now, what is that book about? Well, it's how to get clients now, and it's not get clients then or get clients someday. It's get clients now. It's a step-by-step guide for coaches, consultants, and self-employed professionals. Who don't like to promote. I think that's this part of the subtitle. So everything is explained in the title, and the change is you don't have clients now, and I'm going to help you get clients. And that book is urgent. When I saw that book, I bought it sight unseen. I didn't even open it. So I think that's what we all want to aim for, a book that really is urgently needed.
What about, you mentioned fiction there briefly. How can fiction authors have a back end?
The primary way for fiction authors to have a back end would be to write books so engaging that when they are displayed on the table at Barnes & Noble, people just want them because they've never let them down in the past. All the books... so that's one of the things. One of the ways is to have satisfied readers. Another way is to have a series concept.
Right. So lots of books, basically.
Lots of books that are building on each other. I think Sue Grafton is a case in point. Right? Sue Grafton wrote them. A is for alibi, B is for burglary, C is for car theft, or whatever. And that's just genius because it's simple. And, we are all creatures of habit. Another way that you can build your platform would be to have readings or short stories or podcasts that are electronically available so that your fans... even if your fans paid $5 a month and they were able to access books that you are writing, in the process of writing, or character studies or discussions, another way fiction authors could take advantage of this would be to have discussion worksheets and discussion questions for local reading groups so that people who are... having five or six people over for coffee, that's five or six copies of your book that will be purchased.
No, that's great. So you've mentioned podcasts and we've mentioned blogs, so that's a lot of technology, and I know you use a lot of technology in your websites and your books. So what are the top three, internet tools that you recommend for authors to be using?
Well, the first one is a blogging software. I think that there's no way of getting around the fact that static websites just don't make it anymore. You can't subsist on hiring someone to work on your website. You have to be able to update it frequently yourself at no cost. So that would be one of the thing is to use a blogging software that you can have under your control, and you can add pages to it yourself. Blogs used to be just databases of postings. Today is Monday and I'm going to do this. Today is Tuesday, I did this. Now your blog can have pages, multiple pages. So I think that you need to master the blog. And in many cases, authors should have more than one blog. They should have an author blog that talks about their career and their services, and then have a book blog talking about their specific books. And, you know, this is not money. Mm. You know, I mean, it's free software, and hosting is, what, $5 a month type of thing?
Yeah.
So that's one thing. The second thing that I think, and I've come lately to this, but I think it is the answer to so many problems, is you have to get involved writing articles for an article site, like eZine Articles, or whatever is popular in your field. What you do is you write an article, and they post it, and they give you the visibility. Now, the thing that you have to bear in mind is that long articles are not what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You want to write short, frequent articles, you know, 400 to 500 words. And there's just, you know, I'm finding that each article is an additional search engine optimization entry point to your website.
Mm-hmm.
And that by doing this, I'm doing this crazy thing right now, which is one of a very fast-growing phenomenon. It's 100 articles in 100 days.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, it sounds overwhelming. I mean, you know, people think that, oh, does he have any friends? It really is interesting because I came to this, you know, fairly comfortable writing, but already the time I spend writing an article has gone from 2 hours to like 45 minutes.
Mm, and I guess, a lot of people already have that material within their books as well.
Well, we all do. It's not so much in your book. It's in your experience. It's in your brain.
Mm.
It's in your curiosity. Case in point, one of my clients had no internet search engine visibility. A very nice person. I mean, a very, very hardworking person, and he was in the holistic health, alternative health area. And I got him going on. I asked him to identify the 99 people in the field of holistic health that had influenced his development. And he, you know, he made the list, and then we went through the list together and we identified the easy people for him to write about.
Mm.
And I think it's what's important is we all have our people that have influenced us, and he called them appreciations, which I think is masterful. So he's writing an appreciation of Deepak Chopra, an appreciation of Martin Seligman another day. Martin Seligman wrote a book about learned optimism.
Mm-hmm.
So he identified his heroes and is writing these, basically the kind of things that you would write in an obituary. You know, he's writing, you know, Joanna, you know, I'm writing this about you because I've learned so much from your blog, and then I turn to somebody else, and I, you know, Jan White. So I think we all have our heroes. We just have to take the time to express why they are our heroes, what are the three or four big lessons that our heroes teach us, and you're done.
Mm, and that's another article, then, that's what it's called.
That's another article, and then the next day you do another one, and each time you do it, it gets simpler, and each time you do it, within a week, when you searched his name, there were like two screens of eZine articles that he had written, and anyone would see, oh, okay, well, he knows his stuff. And he's hardworking. Mm. If they had gone 2 weeks previous and he had nothing there, they'd say, maybe I spelled his name wrong.
Yes. So you recommend eZine Articles as the best
that's
site?
That's one of them. That's the one that is the largest. There's 150,000 authors who've submitted articles there.
Mm.
And they have it down to a system. It's all it's been... You know, again, you don't want to spend your time on technology. It's all a matter of put title here, put your keywords here, put a 25-word summary of the article here, write your author resource box here.
Mm.
You know, they walk you through it.
Yeah, no, I use that service as well. It's definitely a good one. And so that's two things. That's blogs and articles. What's your third recommendation?
There's two ways to go here. One would be mind mapping.
Mm-hmm.
Having a mind mapping software program similar or MindJet itself. MindJet is a publisher of a program called Mind Manager. There are a lot of mind mapping software programs. These are necessary because they allow people like authors who traditionally have lots and lots of ideas but and great enthusiasms. But this helps them focus. So instead of going off on tangents, you have a plan for everything you write. You have a plan for every interview. You have a plan for the topics you're going to research at Barnes & Noble or tonight. So I think you need a way of harnessing your enthusiasms. You need a way of getting things done in a predictable, visual way so that you get, as you complete your book, you get feedback that encourages you to do more. The other thing would be, my other answer would be, everybody has to learn to use their word processor more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, like Microsoft Word, it is so easy to just skim the surface and you reach for the mouse and you open the file menu and you select save, when you can just do Control-S and it will save it. There are so many word, you know, keyboard shortcuts. And if you can save, you know, 2 minutes, 5 minutes a day, that adds up very quickly.
Mm. Yeah, and that's obviously how you've managed to write so many books, by saving all that time. That's great.
So that's it. I think that, you know, you have to have a blog. You have to have, you know, a mind mapping software program, because ultimately, you know, again, here's where Roger today is different than Roger years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When I wrote Looking Good in Print, I wrote from chapter 1 to chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggled and had a lot of time getting, you know, finishing it, because I was trapped into writing in a linear fashion, chapter 1 through chapter 12. Now, what I've learned in mind mapping has helped me. I now view a book as simply 10 chapters with 10 ideas in each chapter. And once I get the 10 chapters identified in the right order, and once I identify the 10 points that I want to cover in each chapter, life is easy. Because I come in and I don't have to pick up where I left off. I can go to the easiest thing that remains to be written, and I write that first draft. I come in, you know, it's early morning, it's cold, it's damp, I haven't had my coffee, and, you know, So I look at my list, and I say, oh, chapter 8, point 3, well, I can do that. And you zip that off, and you, oh, gee, well, I finished it. Well, maybe there's time to do a chapter. Let's see what else looks easy. And then you play this game with yourself. You delete the entry that you've just finished, or you change its color, or you put a check mark by it. And suddenly, each time you work, you see the page being filled up with check marks. And each check mark represents, I've gotten a lot done. So instead of looking at what you haven't done, you're looking at what you have done, and you smile to yourself, and you get a little more done.
No, that's great. And you've got a lot of examples of mind maps on your website, Published and Profitable. So can you tell us a bit about the site and what it offers authors?
Published and Profitable is my attempt to help people avoid the mistakes that so many authors fall into. Published and Profitable is organized around what I consider the essence of writing success. It's four steps. It is not just writing. Success is based on is planning, writing, promoting, and profiting. You have to master and you have to work on these four different areas all the time. You have to plan what you're going to be doing. You have to plan your objectives. You have to plan your marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to write it. And you have to write it as efficiently as possible, because there's nothing as useless as an almost finished book. You know, if you have a 20 chapter book and you've done 19 and a half, you still don't have anything.
Mm.
So you have to write efficiently because others are or should be backing you up with cleaning up the grammar, making sure ideas are introduced. And that's one of the other things that separates self-published from published books. If you're self-publishing, you have to pay, and you have to pay a good editor to review your work and to clean it up for you. I mean, no matter how good a writer you are, there are going to be mistakes, both simple ones, grammatical or spelling, but there are often, you know, Robert, the character, turns into Bob about 8 chapters later, and everyone says, "Well, whatever happened to Robert? Who's this Bob?" You know, the editor will say, "Oh, gee," and Bill and William and WM period. So, you know, you need to have to finish your thing, your book, as quickly as possible, so that others can take it to the next level of excellence.
So that's planning and writing, and then you also have promote and profit. So I imagine a lot of people want to know about the profit section.
Not enough. Actually, that's an interesting comment. I mean, everyone wants to know how to be inspired and how to be creative. And basically, if you have planned your book, if you have listened to your market, it's easy to write your book because, oh, that's common sense. And it's common sense because your brain has been writing your book for you while you're talking to your clients or while you're visiting their websites. Promoting is essential because, as I said before, the act of promoting your brand or the act of sharing your ideas well before the appearance of your book becomes part of what makes your book published, you know, like the presentation's in. If he didn't have the blog, that book still wouldn't be written. So you have to view promoting as part of the policy. And the other reason of having a blog is that if you planned out your topic, every time you write a blog post, it fits into a book. It's like putting another piece of the puzzle into a jigsaw puzzle. So that's why promoting is not what you do after your book appears. It's what you do while planning your book, while writing your book. I'll give you one quick... one of the most important tasks an author has is locating high visibility area that will provide and testimonial for the greatest I've ever seen. Expert in your field, or have someone like my relationship, the Streetwise Guide to Relationship Marketing on the Internet, Seth Godin, who is one of my heroes, he wrote the foreword for that book. Right. Now, how did that happen? Well, well before I finished the book, I made a list of who are my dream endorsees, you know, who are the people that I want to have endorse my book. I create a table of contents, I write my 2 chapters, and I send it to the people who I want to write my quote. The result is, it looks, when you visit a bookstore, your name is associated or certified by the expert in your field. So that's, again, a case where success comes from the endorsements. Jonathan Fields, he wrote a book called Career Renegade. And right by the title, this book is the real deal. If you've been if you've been hesitating to do what you love, be careful because Jonathan calls your bluff, so read it, get started, hurry. Seth Godin, New York Times best-selling author. Now, good heavens, he didn't know Seth, but he made it a point through his blog and through email to get noticed by Seth. And finally he said after like 6 months, "Hey, you know, can I run this by you? It's something I'm really interested in." The other thing that is part of the research process as well as part of the promotional thing is finding an expert who wrote a competing book and have them give you the endorsement. In this case, It's a career renegade is, you know, how to make a great living doing what you love. It's a book that came out this February. On the back cover is Career Renegade is a Game Changer. Hell, it's a Life Changer by Karen Samuelson, who's the author of a competing book, How to Be Happy, Damn It. So you have to find out who are the influencers that your intended readers want, and you have to prepare an email that gets them to say, yes, I'll take a look at it, and have them write their words. So, again, we see a blurring between planning, writing, promotion, and then profiting. You know, when you play the game right, and there, you know, the only problem is there's no rules.
Yeah.
You have to play the game and make it better by iteration and doing it over and over again. But, you know, when you do it right, you end up in the point where you do teleseminars about your topic. Those are recorded, and then those recordings are sold. And when you're doing this teleseminar, you're going to be asked questions you didn't have answers for, and you will develop answers for them, sparked by the participants who were paying money to be there. So you are paid to create more products down the road. And I hate it when I have to talk like this, Joanna, because I feel that I'm coming across as, you know, a hustler or the music man, 76 trombones. And,
not at all.
The reality is you're not going to get money from your books. Anything you get from a publisher, Michael Port said this when I interviewed him, he devotes all of his royalties and advances to charity. He doesn't even consider income from a book. What he has, you know, done is to, you know, he has created the back end so that he doesn't need the money. C.J. Hayden, you know, she had wanted all along to have enough money so that she could get involved in certain social, you know, volunteering type activities. And one of the reasons she set up her book to be used as the text in a franchise program was to have the time to devote to something else. So I guess it all comes down to everyone listening has to, I mean, we all want to write the perfect book. We all want to emulate the people that we respect, whether it's Malcolm Gladwell or John McPhee or whomever. That's a given. That doesn't give you, you know, that's just the price of admission. What you have to do is figure out what do you really want out of your book. If you want to do my uncle was in World War II and he was flying the Hump, and he self-published a book about reminiscences from people who had in the 70s. He published it because the Hump pilots were dying off, and he wanted to have a tangible book. So he didn't, you know, his goal was simply to get it published, to keep the story alive. If that's your goal, that's perfect. But I think we can't accept doing the right thing or writing the perfect book without saying, how am I going to benefit from this down the road?
Absolutely. And I'm with you there. I was the classic, you know, I write my book and then I try and wait for somebody to publish me, and that wasn't working for me, which is why I'm doing all the things that I'm doing. So I absolutely agree with you, and you have to focus on these four aspects as we talked about, plan, write, promote, and profit. So the other thing I wanted to talk about was you do a lot of interviews on your Published and Profitable program, which I've listened to a few of them lately. So who has been your most inspirational guest for authors?
Very definitely by an individual called Jim Levine, who's the president of Levine Greenberg, which is one of the leading literary agencies in the country. Now, the reason that I was so touched by Jim's interview was he exhibited the back door that we were talking about earlier. One of my favorite books that came out last year was called Predictably Irrational, The Hidden Forces That Affect Our Decisions by a gentleman called named Dan O'Reilly. Now, Dan came to him, and Jim saw something there, and he had faith, and he put his time and his money where his faith was, and he helped Jim, he helped Dan become, have a first book that was really successful. Now, as I interviewed Jim, and Jim was saying that there are three essentials needed for a book to interest him. The book has to have a market.
Mm.
There have to be people who want to read that book. The second thing is the book has to have a unique, valuable premise. That it has to be relevant to the market, and it has to be non-duplicate anything else. And the third thing is that the author had to have a platform. Now, Dan O'Reilly was an MIT psychology neuroscientist who had risen as high as he could go at MIT. Those are his own words. And he was always writing these, 50-page research papers that, as he put it, were read by 30 people.
Mm.
28 of them who were jealous of it and were looking for things to criticize.
Yeah.
He wanted to be a popular author. He went to Jim, and Jim said, well, what's your platform? And he says, well, there was an article written about me in the MIT Alumni Magazine, which, wasn't quite enough.
Yeah.
So Jim spent 6 months mentoring, hectoring, advising, coaching Dan O'Reilly to the point where they had the topic and the proposal and the writing style that was needed, because the writing, Jim noticed that Dan O'Reilly was writing technical academese, big words, acronyms, long paragraphs, and that's not what people want. People want good information with short sentences and short paragraphs and a story.
Mm.
So they created this proposal after 6 months of work, and then Jim had an auction. And one of the best positions you can be in is to be in a place where you have you have interested two or more publishers in your book, and it's now Friday at 5:00, and you announced that we're going to have this is an auction that closes Tuesday noon. And he got into the position where there are two publishers who were interested.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of them calls up the agent, Jim, and he says, hey, I want to make a preemptive offer, which means that this publisher is going to offer enough money to cancel the auction and give him the book. And as Jim and Dan both mentioned, out of the advance, there was enough money to set up a foundation in the neuroscience field and take care of his family if no one bought the book.
Wow.
So I find it's so inspirational that, in Madison Avenue, there are people who will look for the potential in someone who has two of the three ingredients and help them develop the premise. Now, Dan is very, very happy. He has a three-book contract for the kind of books that he really finds fascinating and challenging.
Mm.
I think it's interesting that writing popular, and that's an awful word, isn't it? By writing accessible books, he had to learn how to rewrite. It's like learning how to write in Latin.
Mm.
So he was, I just think that whole story, there's so many so-so books out there.
Yeah.
And when I saw Predictably Irrational, I knew, that book spoke to me. I knew that this is going to be a big book.
Mm.
And I followed it, and, it was, because it's different. It doesn't need any explanation.
Mm.
So I think there is room for all of us, career renegade, the same story. He was, it's a big Madison Avenue agency, Broadway Books, and the story behind that is that he had a good web presence. He had marketed yoga studios in New York City. He had sold a lot of consumer products.
Mm.
He spent like 5 weeks writing the query letter that he sent to 300 literary reps. Six responded. He met with the six and chose the one that he felt most comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
they had a, and this is, you know, Jonathan's terms, not mine, they had a workmanlike proposal. Now, can you think, talk about damned with faint praise, you know, who wants to be just, you know, workmanship, you know, it's just a pedestrian proposal.
Mm-hmm.
But Jonathan had the platform, and he met the publishers. They responded to him and his track record of turning, you know, buying and selling yoga studios in the competitive market, and they liked him, they liked what he was trying to do more than they liked what he was, his proposal reflected.
Mm.
So I guess there's a lot of, you know, books change during the writing process. If you have a platform that positions you as someone making a determined inquiry into a topic and communicating the results consistently with a twinkle in your eye or with, you know, four helpful hints each time, you don't have to have the perfect book proposal because they're going to hire you, and the book will inevitably change during the writing. A Career Renegade was not the title, and it was not the table of contents as it ended up.
Mm.
So I think it's important to look at the experiences of people who get published and how they have, you know, worked their way around a risk-averse industry and gotten big advances, to use scientific language.
No, that's great. Yeah, thank you for that. And I've just got two more questions. So first of all, we talked a bit about building relationships with people and asking them to write a praise to the book or comment. You are the author of Relationship Marketing on the Internet, and you also use Twitter, which is where you and I met. Can you explain a bit about the Twitter phenomenon, and do you think authors should be using it to promote themselves and their books?
Twitter, I resisted Twitter for a long time. I mean, I not only didn't use it, I viewed it as a waste of time because I knew so many people were wasting more time. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I run into a lot is people who are, you know, jump ahead. They don't have their position. They don't have their platform. They don't have their message, but they're spending time talking about it. And I, you know, it was only around Christmas time that I got involved, and I realized that I had been approaching it all wrong.
Mm.
Because it's not about what you ate for breakfast or what you're going to do this afternoon. In 140 characters, it gives you the opportunity to talk about things that are interested, topics that you are interested in, and it makes it easy to find others who are in your area of interest. So I think the key is to, for authors to explore the key, you know, to look for people who are their influencers, their published authors in their field. Look for people who are writing about their topics. You know, search, if you're writing a book about binary using, or, you know, do a search, a Twitter search, buying a used car, whatever you're interested in, search. Find others who are writing in your market and use it as a purpose and attract them, follow them, because when you follow someone, that old rule of, you know, reciprocity, they want to follow you, or they're at least inclined to look at your profile.
Yeah.
So the advantages of Twitter are it's free. You get an opportunity on your profile to describe who you are and why people should like you. It gives you an opportunity to promote the blog post you're writing.
Mm.
And the blog post that you wrote. And then, in my case, the blog post that you had to rewrite because you noticed a horrendous error in the title. So,
yeah.
You know, it's that kind of thing. You can become a human and you can share not so much irrelevancies, but share what you are doing in a way that promotes the fact that you do it. For example, before a coaching call, I'll go up Twitter, post about, I'm just completing the questions based on our last call that will guide me during this call.
Mm.
And during today, this recent call I just finished, Joanna brought up a really good point that I hadn't considered, and this is a point.
Mm. Yeah.
And here is where I have written a blog post about this point. So it's a really powerful thing that an author has to do, but not as an end in itself, but only as one cog in their marketing wheel.
Mm.
And I think you made the most important thing you said is that, you know, we met on Twitter.
Mm.
And, you know, there was something engaging in the way that you were writing. I did a search on book coaches or writing advisors with copy or whatever, and you showed up, and, you know, your persona, meaning the totality of your name, it created a pen. I mean, that's genius. I like that.
Good.
The picture was very engaging. Your profile was engaging. And then when I visited your website, you know, I knew that this was, you know, a diamond in the rough, that this was something that doesn't sound right. This was a very valuable resource that I could, you know, really like. And,
yeah,
you know, it went from there. And I think that, you know, you're never going to appeal to everyone.
Mm.
And that if every week I could discover a Joanna, I'd be very happy.
And so if people want to follow you on Twitter, what's your Twitter handle?
Roger C. Parker.
There we go.
Very easy. Unimaginative.
No, that's great. Okay, just one last question. You have obviously been writing for a long time, and you've written 35 books, and you've got lots of businesses, and you're very experienced. But for those of us who are at the very beginning of our careers as authors, what are your top most important lessons that we need to know now?
Okay, I don't want to belabor the point, but writing quality and hard work do not necessarily translate to success. As a result, the second lesson is authors have to look at the big picture and view planning, writing, promoting, and profiting as continuing activities, and that they are equally responsible for publishing success. You have to be supported. You have to have people who can find you. You have to have the search engine optimization to locate you. So I think it's far more of a process than I ever thought of it. It is not what it's not what writing schools traditionally focus on, which is, you know, voice and character and inspiration. But it is a business. And maybe that's the biggest message of all, is that writing is a business, and that you have to know what you want out of your writing career to know what steps to take.
No, that's very valuable. Thank you. And so where can people find out more about you and your program?
The best way is to visit publishedandprofitable.com, publishedandprofitable.com, and there's a white paper that writes your way to success that elaborates on the planning, writing, promoting, and profiting. And when you sign up for my white paper, you receive my free weekly tips and invitations to upcoming interviews.
Mm.
I also encourage everyone to visit the Published and Profitable blog, which is located in the navigation bar of Published and Profitable, and sign up to receive my daily tips via email.
Mm-hmm.
I write 5 days a week for my blog, and I have a system. You know, Mondays I write about a planning topic. Tuesdays I write about a writing topic. Wednesdays I write about a promoting topic. Thursdays is a profit topic, and Fridays is an upcoming event. And I honestly say that having that very naive and simple process or program or deadlines or commitments or system, that's the word, having that very simple system has changed my life, and I think that it can change anyone's life. Writing 30 minutes a day is all it takes to really change your life.
That's brilliant that you're still learning even after all this time. That's great. All right, well, thanks ever so much for coming on today, Roger. That was a great interview.
Oh, thank you. And I look forward to seeing and hearing more from you.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time.